welcome to the Geek Interview Podcast. I'm Jeremy Pappas, alongside, as always, a man who enjoys days of past that are not yet to come, but they're on the way, but it's still the past, but it's actually the future. I'm talking about Russell Jones, Russell.
I am a temporal enigma.
An anomaly through the space-time continuum.
There's a saying that I've always held on to. We are all put on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things in the time allotted to us. Right now, I'm so far behind, I'm never going to die.
What's up, my man?
Things are looking up. We had family in town this weekend, so we went down to New Orleans.
Nahlins?
And no one says that.
I know.
No one.
I know.
So my brother survived walking through New Orleans wearing a Razorback shirt. But that's only because it's not football season.
Right.
And no one
really cares about the Razorbacks.
And no one cares about the Razorbacks. No one really cares about the Razorbacks. They just don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a good time. Got to see some French markets. Got to eat lots of food, you know, doing all that. And I've got a little Infamous going on. Infamous Second Son for PS4. I'm playing that. Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls comes out Tuesday, which we're recording Monday. So that's tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
I may pick that up. I may have to wait a week to pick that up, so we'll see. But I think a lot of people are going to get back into Diablo 3 when that rolls out. So I'm excited about it.
More than likely, that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing a lot of Diablo 3 chatter.
Oh, yeah. The crazy thing about it, because Reaper of Souls, it's going to do the typical Diablo expansion formula. I say typical. They've only had one. So
it's true. It's
going to give you Act 5. It's going to give you a new character to play through the whole game with again. But the other things that they're doing that are really interesting are adventure mode. They've already rolled out the loot improvements, which have been great. I've been getting legendaries like crazy. The difficulty improvements have also been rolled out, which makes it simple, super simple to play, because you can really go anywhere and everything is going to adjust itself to the level that you're at.
Mm-hmm.
But the really cool thing are Nephilim Rifts, which are going to be little dungeons that you can, I think, unlock by picking up shards or Nephilim things out in the world. And then when you go into a Nephilim Rift, it is going to be absolutely super random. And on top of that, there will be unique rules that apply only to those dungeons. Like, things are faster. The monsters are all supercharged and super fast. There are unique shrines in those dungeons that grabbing one of those really superpowers you up so that you can just barely deal with the stuff that you're fighting. And, of course, everything is amped up in there, like loot drops and everything else. So that, I think, is going to be the big draw, and that's what's going to keep people coming back to play again and again. It's going to renew that, you know, just one more playthrough, one more game feeling.
Right, which is interesting considering the intense, crazy amount of replayability you have on Diablo 2. I mean, I don't replay games very often as a general rule, and I've played Diablo 2 8 or 9 times.
Exactly.
It's because you just do it. It works naturally, and you jump right into it.
Yeah.
There has been a ton of stuff go on today. I'm kind of glad that we waited. We kind of left the weekend behind for family, so I'm kind of glad that we waited to do the podcast for today, because today we got a brand new X-Men Days of Future Past trailer.
Yep, big, bright, and shiny.
We got our first look. I wouldn't call it bright or shiny. We got our first look at Wanda and Pietro from Avengers 2 Age of Ultron, which I also wouldn't call bright or shiny.
Yeah, they're reflective.
They're definitely reflective. But it all sort of happened at the same time. I would like to start off with Days of Future Past, because, it's the X-Men thing. X-Men, the franchise, has kind of been doing its thing. They refuse to reboot this thing. They are holding on for dear life, which is made even more obvious in this trailer, considering not only, I mean, it's essentially, at least from the trailer that you see, it almost looks more like X4 than X-Men First Class Part 2, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, because there's so much going on from the first couple of X-Men movies
right.
that Patrick Stewart was in, and Ian McKellen, and that right. whole run.
You have a lot of Patrick Stewart. You have a lot of Ian McKellen. Halle Berry is involved. Anna Paquin is there, which we haven't seen Anna Paquin in a little while. It seems like Hugh Jackman is, of course, hanging around being all Wolverine. But I mean, it's as far as the trailer is concerned, it's pretty 50-50. I mean, it's like they're trying to bridge between the two. Because when First Class came out, to me it seemed almost like a reboot. So it's interesting that they're trying to create this reverse bridge back to, we'll call the X movies. X-Men, X2, and
like
then,
the X-Prime.
And then it that shall not be named. Right, yeah. It's like a bridge back to the X movies, which is really interesting. Days of Future Past is a big, well-known X-Men storyline. In the comics, it focused a lot on Kitty Pryde. Ellen Page, who played Kitty Pryde briefly in the earlier movies, is back as Kitty Pryde. Though, she is not... In the original Days of Future Past, Kitty Pryde is sent... Kind of sent back in future. Her consciousness is sent back in future. It's kind of weird. Into the past. I hate time travel.
They screw with the time travel aspect of, what's going on and what's happening in this line more than almost any other.
Right, which is a little I'm used to because it starts off very a post-apocalyptic style. All of the X-Men are in this ruined world that's essentially been taken over by Sentinels. And very Terminator-like, they send Kitty Pryde's consciousness back in time to stop this bomb from going off and leveling New York. And Kitty Pryde has to work with the X-Men of that time to stop this bomb from going off. In this one, they send Wolverine back in time, which, I don't know. I think sending little Kitty Pryde back in time is a little more suspenseful.
Yeah.
Than sending, Logan back in time. I understand why they did it. You, as a general rule, especially considering the most recent Wolverine movie did as well as it did, you want more Wolverine screen time than Ellen Page screen time.
Obviously.
Not me. Give me Ellen Page screen time all day.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying, facetiously. Hugh Jackman does a good Wolverine.
He does.
But we have seen so much good Wolverine we're kind of... There's no room on our plate. We have too much Hugh Jackman on our plate.
Uh-huh. Our cup runneth over with Jackman.
Exactly.
Not entirely a change that I dig. So that's my first kind of complaint, just about what we've learned from the trailer. Here's my second complaint, and I brought this up on Facebook, and people yell at me. And I don't feel like I'm being that guy. I really don't. But maybe I am, I don't know. But I really don't think so. Love Jennifer Lawrence. I got nothing but love for Jennifer Lawrence. If you're looking for somebody who loves Jennifer Lawrence, just look in my chair, because that's where I am, because I love Jennifer Lawrence. In X-Men First Class, the whole arc for her character is Jennifer Lawrence, but Magneto teaches her that being a mutant is to be beautiful. She's beautiful as a blue chick. As her regular human, she's not beautiful, according to Magneto. And she embraces this teaching. Now, in the trailer, again, it's the trailer, and I know Russell's going to say, Jeremy, it's a trailer, it's not the whole movie, you don't know. Which is true, granted. However, she's in the trailer, Jennifer Lawrence, quite a bit more than she should be, in my estimation, than she is blue alien chick. That's my issue. She should be Mystique. I understand Jennifer Lawrence. She's an Oscar winner now. Everyone loves her. Everyone knows her. This is not First Class. This is, she's a darling. Everybody loves her. I know they're going to want people to know that it's Jennifer Lawrence, but it was such an integral part of the movie that it bothers me.
And, that's a legitimate for someone who wants to see the character's integrity remain, who wants to see the playthrough, that's legit. But I'm going to say something, and it's important, and I want you to listen. Jeremy, it's a trailer.
Is it a trailer?
It's not the whole movie.
No idea this was
You coming. Just don't know.
I don't know. I will undoubtedly go and see the film.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing that I need to say about this. is that, let's take everything that we just said about Hugh Jackman, right? You know what this trailer is not? It is not one of the earlier trailers where all we saw was Hugh Jackman.
Right,
I mean, like,
true.
The very first trailers were just, you know, here's Wolverine surrounded by other X-Men. Here's Wolverine talking to Patrick Stewart, you know, very soulful talk. Here's Wolverine going back in time and talking to old Patrick Stewart when he's still sitting in the chair. Mm-hmm. Here's Wolverine and a bunch of people, blah, blah, blah. That was the first couple trailers. Mm. Now, we're seeing a lot of Jennifer Lawrence.
We are.
We're seeing a lot of, yes, the other mutants as well. There's some really, really good parts between Fassbender and other, not Patrick Stewart.
James McAvoy. Yeah.
He's not Patrick Stewart because Patrick Stewart takes over my brain.
He's sexy bearded Patrick Stewart.
Yes, exactly. There are points where, like, on Tumblr today, because people were reacting to this and something else we're going to talk about, Tumblr people were just going nuts. And there was one GIF where there's that intense moment where they're just staring down each other.
Right,
and
right.
I think, like, someone, it looks like it might be their Pietro, whoever. Uh-huh. Someone's in the background just looking at him, and it's just flashing at the bottom of the screen. Now kiss!
I like what they're sort of setting up there with the differences between the X-Magneto relationship as time goes on. That's interesting.
Yeah, and the thing was, in the first movie, Jennifer Lawrence's character played a massive role in, you know, the development of the mutants going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing more of her in this trailer because they recognize the same things that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? A female lead like that having more time in the trailer to sell this movie the way that she is, kicking ass, I'm okay with that. And I understand the concerns about what she looks like with blue. And I think that, yeah, from a character perspective, that's great. And I think it's great that we can talk about that instead of other things. About, you know, that female leads have typically had to deal with before. So I think that it's good to an extent that that's what we're concerned about. Is whether or not she's going to be blue or not. You know, when V for Vendetta came out, one of the things with Hugo Weaving was he did the entire movie in the mask. And I was really impressed about that.
Uh-huh.
But then you had Spider-Man, where Toby was just taking the
Spider-Man,
mask
yeah, Spider-Man 3, where the mask just did not stay on.
Every 30 seconds, it's like, oh,
there goes the mask.
Gotta
take the mask
Half
off.
Of New York sees him and realizes, wait, who is this kid? We have no idea who this person is.
I'm on the top of a building, even though there are other buildings that are 200 stories taller. Time to take the mask off.
Yep.
Let's let the mask breathe a little bit.
It's like there's a flow chart of, should the mask stay on or off? Are you fighting a villain? Yes. Leave the mask on for a moment. Are you hidden from the villain behind a platform? Yes. Take the mask off.
That's fine, but make sure to put the mask back on when there are other people around.
But, you know, I get that, but that full body paint is got to be hell on.
Oh, yeah.
Not only, you know, wearing it, I'm sure that getting into and out of is crazy and expensive, but shooting it and doing the effects between them, I'm sure, is a little nuts.
It doesn't matter. It's these movies these days, these newfangled movies, they do that all the time. I mean, look at old Matthew McConaughey losing a bunch of weight and practically killing himself. That's what we want. That's what we want.
We want Chris Pratt going from, you know,
Parks
and Rec blubber to, you know, carved potatoes on his abs.
Right. Yeah. That's what we want. We want you to half kill yourself. So I was scrolling through just randomly the Days of Future Past cast list, and something stood out to me that has to be now. Again, I love Jennifer Lawrence. Don't get me wrong, but I have to say, just from looking at the cast list, she will not be my favorite member of the Days of Future Past cast. She will not be my favorite mutant in the movie. Why? Because my favorite mutant will have to be Blink. Now, we know Blink. She can teleport. Your question would then be,
okay, I'll bite. Why is Blink your favorite character if you have seen almost practically nothing about her?
Simple. The actress that plays Blink, her name is Fan Bingbing.
Okay.
That is her name.
Okay.
It is Fan Bingbing.
And that's legit.
That's the best name ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the best. Fan Bing Bing is the best name ever.
Yeah.
I just saw it, was scrolling through. I saw Fan Bing Bing, and my brain goes, what? Name's Fan Bing Bing. She is a Chinese actress. I believe this is her first American film. And she is going by her given name, which is Fan Bing Bing.
Wow.
I think it's awesome. I'm a big fan of Fan Bing Bing. I'm a fan of Fan Bing Bing. Just throwing that out there. So when you see her character, Blink, important character, when you see Blink on the screen, I want you to think, that's Fan Bing Bing. That's a great name. That is a great name, and I'm glad she didn't change it.
I mean, you know, it's going to be right next to Fassbender, so.
It is. It's also going to be right next to Boo Boo Stewart.
There you go.
That's a hell of a name. Boo Boo. B-O-O-B-O-O.
Yep.
Boo Boo Stewart.
And not a Cumberbatch to be seen.
Not a single Cumberbatch. Not even one.
Batch your Cumber.
So right after we got the trailer for X-Men First Class and everything was going crazy and oh my god, X-Men is here. Then Marvel, not that this isn't Marvel, but Marvel Studios. It's so weird explaining to people. Marvel Studios releases pictures. I want to say it was on location shooting in Italy. And it's our first look at a flesh and blood Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. We've seen concept art before. We've seen really quick glimpses of them here and there. Now I'm going to link the whole thing in the podcast page. I want you to go and I want you to take a look if you haven't seen this. You probably have, but if you haven't seen it, I want you to go take a look. And then Russell, I want to get your... Because you kept posting a picture.
Yeah.
You posted on Twitter, you posted on Facebook. I don't quite get it.
Yeah, it's the if you've seen it before, for people listening, it's the long neck reaction gif where the guy's sitting his computer and just leaning back away from it, kind of giving it a bit of side eye.
Right.
So, if you recall, when Marvel released their the special like making of the universe thing,
uh-huh.
They also had some concept art in it, and uh-huh. They basically released pictures of some concept art for Wanda and Pietro.
Uh-huh.
And comparing them now, they actually look very similar because the shots we're looking on the set of Elizabeth Olsen, Aaron Taylor Johnson, the costuming and everything, it looks very similar. When you look at the concept art, you're like, oh yeah, that looks kind of interesting. It's, you know, yeah, I think that'll be. And then you look at the pictures, you're like, what? Because I'm looking at them and it's a little... All right, these are shot from a very, very super high angle.
Uh-huh.
They are shot without any other effects at all.
Right.
So, you know, we don't see any of the stuff that we might normally see. And we certainly don't see these... I'm going to say we don't see these actors in their full element. Because...
No, absolutely not. And if you look at the picture, I think the picture... Let's call a spade a spade. These look like shit.
Yeah.
Quicksilver, the shot of Quicksilver, you can actually see like an FX guy behind him. Yeah. So it's a weird angle that he's at. And he's kind of got this weird, this whole thing. I'm not losing my mind over this too much. I really think this is an issue of pictures being weird. Yeah. And I would say this about DC. If you're going to show me random, you know, cell phone shots from the studio of a DC movie, I'm not going to crucify them based on. Now, if you show me film stills and they look like shit, then there's an issue.
Yeah.
Because they should look good.
Yeah, I'll say this. Going through some of the more action-y shots from the set, because Jeremy Renner's in them too.
Right.
Bowing up.
Right.
And going through some of the action shots, especially where Aaron Taylor Johnson's running and Olsen is, for lack of Scarlet a better Witcher. Term, well, she's casting.
She's doing
the kind of thing.
She's Scarlet Witching.
She's doing the kind of thing you expect a LARPing wizard or someone to do.
She could be throwing pens and screaming lightning bolt.
There's like one shot where she's turned. I don't know. I'm looking at this angle. I'm trying to figure the aspect out. But it's like her spine is twisted almost backwards like a cat. She looks like a cat leaping backwards on her top half while the bottom half is firmly rooted to the ground. It's kind of awesome. Those shots, I'm like, hey, I get this, especially where he's running. Like, the profile shot where he's running around the car, and you can see the side of the uniform, and it's got that same kind of... That, I think, is going to look good, especially whenever he gets, you know, whatever FX is going to need to show that he's running freaking fast. Mm-hmm. Like, when those things happen, I think that these costumes will be perfect for that. The couple of main shots, like the ones that were posted on Facebook and the ones that are at the very top of the article, they're just kind of standing still with a dopey look on their face and a shot from high angle. It's not a good photo. It's not flattering. And that's kind of, yeah. And any of the shots where there's all kind of, like, they're standing around, their hands are inside, they're just kind of looking. It's like, that's not, you know, it's like... There's a video with Ian McKellen, and he's talking to, I think, Ricky Gervais, and it's from the Ricky Gervais show. And he's describing, or it's like he just asked him, you know, people ask me all the time whenever I'm on Lord of the Rings and I was playing Gandalf, what do you do to prepare to be, you know, the wizard? And I just say, well, I pretend to be what a wizard would be whenever they take, whenever they say action. If I were to look at a timeline, I would say, Sir Ian, Sir Ian, Sir Ian, action. Wizard, you shall not pass! That's what this kind of looks like. When they're just standing around, it's like, oh, we're people in kind of weird fitting clothes. We're just standing around waiting for someone. And then they yell action, and it's like, holy shit, okay, now these actually look good. So I think, you know, I go back and forth on them, but I think that ultimately they'll be fine when you get into the actual movie itself.
Right. I definitely don't think we should discredit them based on the stills by any stretch of the imagination.
No, not at all. And the concept art, I think the concept art gives you a much better view of what this is going to look like. I will say this, though, especially the concept art for Pietro, he looks like he's wearing a science officer's uniform from Star Trek Online. Like, it looks exactly the same kind of the panels, the way they're constructed, and the material. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, I will say this, I'm not a huge fan of the look on Pietro pretty much altogether. I need to see more, I think, but as of now, I didn't really care for the concept art, and I don't really care, obviously, I don't really care for seeing them sort of in person here. Wanda, I think, is fine. Wanda has this sort of almost like bohemian thing going on with the heavy boots and the dress and the red kind of half jacket going on, which I think is cool. That's a good nod to the Scarlet Witch character without putting her in a, you know, a red leather tiara like she normally wears. That I dig, and I think the actress has sort of the look for it. She looks a little, for lack of a better term, a little touched, which I think that's what you need for a Scarlet Witch, considering, remember, we're talking about arguably, I would say not even arguably, the most powerful mutant.
Yeah.
Period. Maybe one of the most powerful forces in the Marvel Universe once you get all the way down to it.
Yeah. We were talking about new comics last week, and I was mentioning Uncanny X-Men and All New X-Men. I bought the volume one of both of those, and I'm now hooked, and I'm reading them. She removed the mutant powers from 99% of the mutant population.
And she did it instantly. Inadvertently. She didn't try to do that shit.
Yep.
It just happened. She is House of M. She created that whole thing. That was her luck, probability, chance, curse power, just deciding to take a walk, seeing what it can see. She created that whole Judgment Day-like experience. That's wild. Now, I know you say, oh, it's a comic, they always want to... That's not something that comes around a lot. Very rarely. Very rarely. Will a company like Marvel do something so, you know, I mean, series changing.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing you can really compare it to would be Civil War. You might be able to compare it to Marvel Zombies, but Marvel Zombies was always sort of just a fun, hey, look, everyone's a zombie.
Yeah, that sort just of went, deal. That just went somewhere.
Right, that just, let's make everyone zombies and see what happens. I don't think anyone ever...
ever. No one expected, and then they ate Galactus.
Right. Yeah. Which doesn't shock me. Because if I was a zombie... Though, again, if you're talking zombie apocalypse, I have to bring up, if zombies actually started to multiply, the Earth would kill them. They would they would be destroyed by bacteria. They would be destroyed by wild animals. Wild animals would have a field day.
Crows and buzzards.
I want you, not even crows and buzzards. Nuts. I want you to imagine this in your brain for a moment, if you would, Russell. Imagine a grizzly bear against a horde of zombies.
Yeah, but now all I can think of is zombie grizzly, and then I just have to lie down.
There's no way that they could. They couldn't do that. They couldn't penetrate a grizzly bear hide. Grizzly bear is going to destroy every single one of the zombies. It's just going to cut through them like fucking butter.
I really like to see, like, in a zombie movie, you know, they get to a zoo and they run into, like, a Kodiak bear exhibit, because Kodiaks, holy crap, you want to talk about, like, 10 feet tall killing machines. Mm-hmm. And then the zombies just show up and they're like, what's that? That's a bear. And the bear's like, it's playtime! Yeah. And just rips them all to shreds.
Because they're going to see him as food.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna look at it.
Bloody meat.
Oh, hey, look, food. I mean, yeah, they're gonna go crazy. So if that's if we ever run into the old zombie apocalypse, Jeremy's going to the woods, gonna climb a tree, and I'm gonna let the bears and the carrion birds and the bugs just take care of business. Like a week, then we'll come down. See who's left. Maybe try and domesticate a grizzly. You know, for fun, for fun and prizes.
Yeah, we have a ranger, an elf ranger, in our dungeon world game, and she has a bear as an animal companion, and she's just basically riding the bear everywhere.
Nice. That's what you got to do. That's what I'd do.
Yep.
So those are that's the two really big stories that kind of dropped in today. I definitely would like your listener input on both of these things. I remain slightly disinterested by Days of Future Past, if only because I'm kind of getting what I expect. If they had given me what I hadn't expected, then I'd be a lot more into it. But I'm kind of getting what I expected and starting to think that I was right, and that's always a dangerous place for me to be in. Let us know what your thoughts are on Days of Future Past. Let me know why I'm brilliant or dumb, you know, just the same sort of deal. And then take a look at those pictures that I've linked on the podcast page and give me your honest opinion. Cause I mean, if you gotta be honest, I look like shit, but they look like shit, I think, sort of by design. I mean, in the one shot of Scarlet Witch, you can see a part, I think it's a part of her bra, and it's like pink with little polka dots on it. That probably was not intended to be in the movie. Just throwing that out there.
It could be a vest underneath.
Maybe, but it kind of looks like a bra to me.
Yeah.
Let us know what you have bounced around in your head on either one of those. There's one other thing that happened late last week that I definitely wanted to get into, and that was the D&D episode number 2.
Yes.
On Community.
Yes.
Now, you know, I'll be honest, I feel like this is a real downer podcast. You know who would make sure this was not a downer podcast? Fan Bing Bing. Sorry.
Fan Bing Bing would not allow this podcast to go negative.
And make this thing as positive as possible.
Fan Bing Bing would demand that we stick to issues, that we don't take down the can, that we don't go negative at all.
Fan Bing Bing, she is light, she is joy. Big fan. Of fan.
We're just going to have like this totally randomly made up persona.
Really? I'm a big
You are a big fan of the Bing Bing?
I am a big fan. No, I will not call her that is disrespectful. I think she has a very she has a name that is a lot of fun to say. She also does a lot of philanthropy for children suffering from congenital heart diseases. So that's in Tibet. Fan Bing Bing's in Tibet fighting congenital heart disease while we're doing nothing. Yeah. Yeah. That's the Fan Bing Bing way.
Yeah. Stand to learn a lot.
This week we could stand to learn a lot from Fan Bing Bing. this whole season of Community, I've not been real blown away. I'll be honest, not been real blown away by the whole. However, big ol' however, this episode was excellent.
Yes.
It was wonderful, and not just because it was D&D. It was excellent because I really felt like it kind of got back to the core of what Community is supposed to be. It got back to that, you know, story. It got back to the group dynamic with everybody. It sort of told that it kind of had that arc and then the sub arc and then the sub sub arc that I just really loved. Here's the thing I appreciated as a nerd and as a D&D nerd especially. Here's what I appreciate the most about Community and their D&D episodes. They do them really well. It's not like you see in a lot of shows where they play D&D or whatever they decide to call it, Medusas and Mazes or whatever the fuck they want to call it.
Yeah.
They'll usually come up with some bullshit name so they don't have to pay D&D. First of all, they paid D&D.
Yeah.
To do it, which is wonderful. And they represented the game appropriately. Now, a little weird to have Abed rolling everything, but that is something that as a DM you can do, especially if you have a bunch of new players.
Yeah, and
you
can
roll everything, add everything together.
Like maybe way back during first edition, that might have been the way it was done, because I recall reading representations of the game back then before I even played D&D, and that's kind of how it was represented.
Well, I know it was that's one way of playing. That's always been kind of like there have always been a couple of ways to do your ability scores. That was one way of playing it. You have the DM rolling openly on everything. He has all of your scores and everything. And it's good for beginning players.
Which, let's be honest.
These are the absolute... Well, I with the exception of... they've all played at least once before, right?
Yeah, they played... I mean, that one time.
They played the one time when they helped out Fantastic Neil.
Fantastic Neil. Which, did you see? You saw that, right?
Yeah, he was in the background.
Absolutely.
Like, of the when they were
right
talking
there.
About him being in the background.
Yes.
He was in the background, which was great. So they represent the game accurately. They genuinely play a game of D&D. And I really it's fun that Abed's the DM because he's got that. We all sort of know a DM like Abed, where I've done a little bit of work on the world, and he pulls out a big huge book.
Womp. It's like, I go north. What's north? Or I go south. What's south? Womp.
Well, let's consult the 8 maps I've made of the south.
Yep.
No, there's no reason why you should have wanted to go south, but I like to cover my bases, which was awesome. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I'm glad that Community probably not long for this world. The last two seasons have been a little disappointing, this season and the season previous. I haven't hated them, but they've definitely there's definitely a little something that's missing, and they just clearly aren't getting back. I believe it's safe to say that Community's best days are behind it. I doubt we'll see another season of Community. However, it was nice to get another D&D episode that was done as well as this one was done.
Yeah.
And I think it shows a lot of respect for something that a lot of people really love, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. And you can tell also, if you're really sharp-eyed, that Wizards was absolutely involved in this, because at the end of the episode, the stinger, Abed was holding Ghost of Dragonspear Castle, the D&D Next kind of pre-editioned book. I want to go to one thing, though, that really stuck with me. Mm-hmm. Like, out of all the things that happened in that episode, I think you can actually watch this and take something away as a DM that will make you better. When they reach the ending and Abed is told that he owes, you owe us a good ending. He says, I owe you nothing. I am a dungeon master. I create a boundless world and I bind it by rules. Too heavy for a bridge, it breaks. Get hit, take damage. Spend an hour outside someone's front door fighting over who gets to kill him. He leaves through the back. He's out there somewhere. You might find him if you get your crap together.
Right.
That's how you DM.
That is a DM. DM also ensured that Annie played yet again the greatest character in D&D history, Hector the Well-Endowed.
Hector the Well-Endowed. Like, really? Again?
Really? I'm Hector the Well Endowed again. I would also like to take. I would also like to take a moment of silence for Crouton.
Yes.
Poor Crouton. So, if you missed the D&D episode of Community, jump over to Hulu, I would imagine. Has it? That's where NBC puts all their stuff. Go watch the most recent episode. It's a good one. You don't really have to even be caught up if you haven't been watching this season to kind of get it. It's sort of very self-contained, and you'll enjoy it. Yeah, because it's just plain good. That's all you need to know, is it's just plain good. With that, I think we're pretty much out of time. If you'd like to share your opinions with us on Twitter, we are at JR Podcast. You can also shoot us an email to jrpodcast.com. As always, our music is Out Prop featuring Esset. Check them out on uhort.no. For Russell, this is Jeremy. Thank you for listening.
I hug my father!